Hey, deep divers. Ready for another deep dive?
Always up for a deep dive.
This one, I think, is something that a lot of people struggle with. We're going to be talking about the difference between ADHD and just being lazy.
Yeah, that's a big one.
You know, we all kind of feel like we're lazy sometimes, but when is it actually something more?
Right.
So yeah. I think this is something a lot of listeners can relate to. So we've got a whole bunch of sources here ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be talking about symptoms and causes and all that. And even some tips for managing ADHD.
That's great.
Because, you know, a lot of people think that folks with ADHD are just lazy, but we're going to get into all that.
Yeah.
But first, I think we need to kind of get on the same page. What is ADHD?
That is the question, isn't it?
Like, other than just being fidgety and distracted.
Yeah. Well, you know what I always find so interesting about ADHD is that it's not just behavioral.
Yeah.
It's actually a neurodevelopmental difference. Like, literally how your brain functions and develops is different.
Mm-hmm.
And it really impacts this set of skills that we call executive functions.
What are executive functions? What does that even mean?
Yeah. So think about all of the things that you need to kind of like plan and organize your life and then focus on a task.
Yeah.
All of those things are controlled by your executive functions.
Oh, wow.
It's kind of like the air traffic control of your brain.
I like that.
And, you know, with ADHD, there can be some delays
yeah.
and miscommunications. And
oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's actually like a brain thing.
It is.
And not a choice.
It's not a choice.
Okay, but then how do we differentiate that from just being lazy?
Right.
Like, haven't we all felt like, I'll do it later?
Of course. We all procrastinate sometimes, but
yeah.
with ADHD, it is a little different. So people with ADHD, they actually oftentimes want to do things.
Oh.
They have dreams and goals just like anyone else. It's the how that trips them up because of those executive function challenges.
God.
It's not about a lack of desire. It's about not having the right tools and support to kind of get those things done.
So it's almost like their brains are kind of wired for a different operating system.
Yeah.
And they need different tools to function at their best.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a great way to think about it.
Cool. So our sources really kind of break down these symptoms of ADHD.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's not just one thing.
No, definitely not. And that's where a lot of the confusion comes from. So broadly speaking, we can split ADHD symptoms into three categories: inattention, hyperactivity, and impulsivity.
Okay.
And let's actually break those down a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to misunderstand what these things actually look like in real life.
Yeah, because I think everybody kind of have the picture in their head of the kid bouncing off the walls.
Exactly.
But it's obviously a lot more complex than that.
It's way more nuanced than that. Let's take inattention, for example. So imagine you're trying to listen to this deep dive, but every few seconds, your brain is pulled away by a random thought or a sound or even just like a little itch on your arm.
Oh, yeah.
Like you're trying to focus, but it's like your brain has 20 tabs open.
Okay.
And you're just struggling to find the right one.
I mean.
And that makes it so hard to absorb information
yeah.
or follow conversations or even read a book.
That feeling of mental overload is real.
Yes.
Even for someone who doesn't have ADHD.
Exactly.
You know, like I can only imagine how exhausting it would be.
It's exhausting.
To be constantly battling that.
And it's not just external distractions either.
Oh,
it can be internal ones too.
Okay.
So like, you know, you're trying to work on something, but then suddenly you remember that you need to buy milk.
Uh-huh.
And then you start thinking about what to make for dinner.
Right.
And then boom, you're down a rabbit hole.
Yeah.
You're completely off track.
So it's like a never-ending ping pong match.
It really is.
Okay, so that's inattention. What about hyperactivity?
Right.
Is it always about being literally hyper?
You know, it's not necessarily about being physically hyper, although some people with ADHD are restless.
Yeah.
But for a lot of people, it's actually more of an internal experience.
Okay.
It's kind of like having this motor that just never shuts off.
So like mentally.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you might feel this urge to move or fidget or even just talk really fast.
Uh-huh.
And mentally, it can show up as racing thoughts or difficulty relaxing or just feeling constantly on edge.
So it's like your fight or flight response is
yeah.
kind of on all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
Even when there's nothing to be afraid of.
Exactly.
I could see how that would be
yeah.
really draining.
It is incredibly draining.
So we've got inattention, hyperactivity, and then the third one is impulsivity.
Impulsivity, yes.
What does that mean?
Okay, think about this. We all act impulsively sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Like we blurt out an answer or make a snap decision. But with ADHD, this tends to be a lot more frequent.
Okay.
And a lot more intense.
So it's not just about being spontaneous or going with the flow.
Right.
It's about having a really hard time controlling those impulses before they kind of turn into actions.
Yeah.
What kind of challenges can that create for someone?
Well, just imagine, you know, being in a meeting.
Okay. Yeah.
And having to fight this urge to interrupt every few seconds. Or struggling to wait your turn in line.
Okay.
Even though you know you should.
Yeah.
And it can even impact things like emotional regulation too.
Oh, wow.
So it's harder to kind of control your anger or frustration or even your excitement.
So it really kind of bleeds into every aspect of your life.
It can.
Oh, wow. So I'm starting to see how all of these symptoms can kind of weave together.
Yeah.
And create this really complex experience for somebody.
Absolutely.
It's definitely not just about being lazy. It's about...
Right.
These differences in your brain that impact how you think and feel and interact with the world.
Exactly. And that's a super crucial point to keep in mind as we kind of go further into this topic, because mm-hmm. when we understand those symptoms, it'll help us understand why those management strategies we'll talk about later are so effective.
Gotcha. So, okay, we've kind of got the symptoms down now.
Yeah.
But I want to circle back to this whole myth of laziness, because our sources really emphasize motivation
yes.
as a key difference here.
It is.
Can you kind of explain what they mean by that?
Absolutely. So remember how we were talking about those executive functions being like the air traffic control of your brain?
Yeah.
Well, imagine that air traffic control is just really struggling to keep up with all the incoming flights.
Okay.
And there are delays and miscommunications happening all over the place.
Yeah.
That's kind of what it feels like for someone with ADHD trying to manage their time and their tasks.
Wow.
So, you know, they might be super motivated to finish a project,
right.
but the task itself just feels so overwhelming, like they're trying to climb a mountain.
Yeah.
So they might get started and then they get sidetracked like a million times, or
yeah.
they just can't figure out where to even begin.
Yeah, I can relate to that.
And it can be so frustrating.
Yeah.
And it's not because they don't care.
Right.
And it's not because they lack motivation.
Wow.
It's because their brains are literally processing information and managing time differently.
Wow. Okay. That makes a lot of sense. So they have all these great intentions, but their brain's kind of hitting a roadblock.
Yeah.
When it comes to actually getting it done.
Yeah.
And our sources use this really cool analogy, I thought, of a sand timer.
Uh-huh.
To describe this struggle with time management. What do you think about that?
I think it's a great analogy because
yeah.
it really captures that feeling of like time constantly slipping away.
Yeah.
But you just can't seem to grasp it.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back to those executive function challenges, you know?
Okay.
Planning and prioritizing, even just estimating how long things will take. It's a real battle. So imagine yeah. trying to fit all your tasks
yeah.
and responsibilities into the sand timer.
Okay.
But you keep spilling some. And you lose track of what you've already put in.
Yeah.
And the sand just keeps pouring down.
Yeah. It's like you're constantly racing against the clock.
You are.
But the clock is always winning.
Always winning.
I can see how that would be so stressful.
It is.
And probably lead to procrastination and missed deadlines.
Definitely.
And probably also some judgment from other people.
Of course.
Who don't understand what's going on.
Yeah. And that's why it's so important to have these conversations and kind of break down these stereotypes. Because once you understand what's actually happening in the brain,
yeah.
it becomes really clear that it's not about laziness
right.
or a lack of willpower. It's really about these fundamental differences in how you experience the world
right.
and interact with it.
Yeah. Okay. So we've talked about the symptoms
yeah.
and kind of the time management struggles.
Yeah.
But one of the things that our sources highlighted was just how inconsistent
yes.
ADHD can be. Can
yeah.
you kind of elaborate on that?
Yeah. So, you know, we all have good days and bad days.
Right.
But with ADHD, this inconsistency can be way more pronounced. Mm. So like one day you're incredibly productive.
Okay.
You're knocking things off your to-do list like a boss.
Yeah.
You're in hyper-focus.
Okay. Hold on. Hyper-focus.
Yeah.
What's that?
That is like the superpower of ADHD.
Okay.
So hyperfocus is this amazing ability to become completely absorbed in something that
right.
you're interested in to the point where you lose track of time.
Okay.
Everything else around you just fades away. It's like channeling all of that scattered energy into this laser beam of focus.
Okay.
And it can lead to these incredible bursts of productivity and creativity.
So is that something you can just like turn on whenever you want?
Unfortunately, no. Right. It's more like it chooses you.
Oh, okay.
And that's part of the inconsistency.
Yeah.
So you might be hyper-focused on something for hours and then suddenly it's gone
mm-hmm.
and you're left feeling completely drained and unable to focus on anything else.
So it's like a roller coaster.
It is.
Of energy and focus.
Yeah.
Where you have these amazing peaks.
Yeah.
And then these really sudden dips.
Exactly.
And I can see how that would make it really hard to plan and be consistent.
Definitely.
Which, again, could look like laziness to somebody who doesn't understand.
Right. And that's why those management strategies are so important.
Okay.
Because it's not about forcing yourself to be quote unquote normal.
Right.
It's about finding ways to actually work with your brain.
Yeah.
To create a more balanced and fulfilling life.
Okay. I'm already getting so much out of this deep dive.
Me too.
So I'm really excited to talk about these management strategies.
Yeah.
Because I think, honestly,
absolutely,
whether you have ADHD or not, I think everybody can benefit from learning a little bit more about how to manage their time and focus. But before we do that, let's just take a quick little pause here and reflect on what we've talked about.
Sure.
We've kind of unpacked what ADHD is.
Yeah.
We busted some myths.
Yeah.
We talked about these core symptoms. What stands out to you as we kind of get ready to shift gears and talk about solutions?
I think what really stands out to me is just how much misunderstanding there is around ADHD.
Yeah.
It's often dismissed as like a made-up condition or just an excuse for bad behavior.
Yeah.
But when you actually understand the science of it and you see how much it impacts people's lives, it becomes clear that this is a real and complex challenge, and these people deserve compassion and support. Absolutely.
And that's what this whole deep dive's about.
Yes.
Helping people understand that ADHD is not laziness.
Totally.
It's about creating a more inclusive and supportive world for everybody.
For everyone.
Okay. So with that in mind, let's transition to these management strategies you were talking about.
Sounds good.
What are some things people can actually do to kind of navigate these challenges and thrive?
I'm so glad you asked that.
Yeah.
Because while ADHD presents a lot of challenges, there's also a lot that people can do to manage their symptoms and leverage their strength.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's important to remember this is a journey, not a destination.
Uh-huh.
There's no magic cure-all.
Okay.
But with the right tools and support,
people
with ADHD can really flourish.
That's encouraging to hear. So what are some of those tools and strategies?
Well, our sources highlight some really great ones that I'm really excited to talk to you about.
Awesome. Me too. Let's do it.
One of the biggest things, and I think our sources all really highlighted this, is the power of routines.
Okay.
Routines can be a game changer.
In what way?
You know, think about it. Routines provide structure and predictability, which can really help minimize decision fatigue, which is so draining for the ADHD brain.
That makes sense. I've noticed in my own life that having like a morning routine or whatever really helps me feel more grounded.
Yes.
But I can only imagine how important that would be for somebody. Yeah. Who's dealing with ADHD?
Especially for someone who's dealing with that constant whirlwind of thoughts and impulses. It's like you're providing a roadmap for the brain.
Oh,
so
bam.
It doesn't have to constantly be figuring out what's next.
I like that.
Even really simple things like having a consistent wake-up time or having designated workspaces or, you know, set meal times can make a huge difference in reducing that stress and overwhelm.
So it's about creating these external supports to compensate for the internal struggles.
Absolutely.
I like that.
Yeah.
And I remember our sources mentioned visual aids being really helpful too.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Okay. So remember all that mental chatter and distractibility we were talking about?
Uh-huh.
Visual aids can be a total secret weapon for the ADHD brain.
Okay.
Because they cut through all that noise and offer a very clear and concise way to process information.
So it's like instead of having to constantly translate everything into words, you're giving your brain the information in a way it can process it more easily.
Exactly.
So things like calendars and to-do lists.
Yes, color-coded calendars, to-do lists with check boxes.
Oh, yeah, getting to check those boxes.
Those little dopamine hits, right?
Yes, exactly.
Or even mind maps.
Oh, yeah.
To organize ideas, anything that takes those abstract thoughts and makes them something you can see and interact with.
Yeah.
That can be super powerful.
I bet it also helps with time management.
Oh, totally.
Right.
Yeah, remember that sand timer we were talking about?
Yeah.
Well, visual aids can really help make those deadlines and schedules more concrete.
Yeah.
So instead of having a due date just kind of floating around in your head, you can see it right there on your calendar.
Yeah.
You can set reminders and you can even break down the task into smaller steps.
Yeah.
Each with its own little visual representation.
That's a good segue into another strategy that our sources talked about, breaking down tasks.
Yes.
I know I get super overwhelmed when I'm faced with a big project.
Yeah.
But if I can chunk it down into smaller steps,
yeah,
it feels way less daunting.
Absolutely.
I imagine that would be super helpful for somebody with ADHD.
It's essential. And I think the reason why it's so helpful is it goes back to those executive function challenges we were talking about.
Okay.
You know, if your brain is already struggling with planning and organization.
Right.
Facing a massive task can trigger that fight or flight response.
Oh, yeah.
It's like you're looking at a giant mountain.
Okay.
And you don't even know where to start climbing.
So it's about turning that mountain into a series of smaller hills.
Exactly.
I like that.
Yeah.
But how do you actually go about breaking down a task?
Right. Well, let's say you have this big work project due.
Okay.
Instead of trying to tackle the whole thing at once, which can feel super paralyzing.
Yeah.
Break it down into smaller steps. So, you know, research, outlining, drafting, editing. And each of those steps become their own little mini task.
Yeah.
Suddenly it feels less intimidating and more approachable.
And I bet it helps with motivation too, because then instead of feeling defeated by this huge project,
totally,
you have these little wins along the way.
Exactly. You have these small victories that keep you moving forward.
Yeah.
And it's important to remember that, you know, everybody's different.
Right.
What works for one person with ADHD might not work for someone else.
Yeah.
It's all about experimenting, finding what clicks for you,
uh-huh,
and being kind to yourself along the way.
So we've got routines, visual aids, breaking down tasks. What else? Are there any other must-have strategies?
Yes. One of the most important things, and all of our sources talked about this, is seeking support.
Okay.
Whether it's from healthcare professionals, therapists, coaches, support groups, friends, family.
Yeah.
Having that network of understanding people who can offer encouragement and guidance is invaluable.
I think a lot of people think it's about self-discipline and willpower, but it sounds like having that external support,
it makes a huge difference.
It really makes a difference.
It does. It's not about doing it all alone.
Yeah.
In fact, for some people, medication can be a really helpful tool.
Right.
As part of a comprehensive treatment plan.
Uh-huh.
And therapy can be incredibly beneficial.
Okay.
For learning coping mechanisms, developing strategies, and addressing any other coexisting mental health concerns.
Wow. Okay, so there's a lot.
Yeah, and support groups are amazing.
Yeah.
Because they can provide that sense of community and shared experience,
mm-hmm,
and remind you that you're not alone in this.
It sounds like it's a very multifaceted approach.
It is.
It's about understanding your own unique needs and finding the right tools and strategies.
Yeah.
And building that support network. It's not about fixing ADHD. It's about empowering people.
Yes.
To kind of navigate the world in a way that makes sense for them.
Exactly. And that brings us back to that core message of this whole deep dive.
Yeah.
ADHD is not laziness. It's a different way of thinking, processing information.
Yeah.
And experiencing the world. And when we understand those differences, we can create a more compassionate, supportive, and inclusive society for everyone.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I mean, how do we actually shift those societal perceptions?
Yeah.
Because it's one thing to understand on an individual level.
Yeah.
But how do we actually create a world where neurodiversity is celebrated and embraced rather than stigmatized?
That is the question, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a challenge for sure. But I think it starts with education. The more we learn about ADHD, the more we can challenge those harmful stereotypes and replace them with empathy and understanding. And that goes for everybody. Teachers, employers, parents, friends.
It's about fostering that sense of curiosity and open-mindedness.
Absolutely.
Rather than jumping to judgments or making assumptions.
Yes. And you know what? I think it's about recognizing that we all have strengths and we all have challenges.
Yeah.
And that diversity in all its forms really makes us stronger as a society.
So true. Okay, deep divers, as we wrap up this part of our deep dive.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on the difference between ADHD and laziness?
I think what's really resonating with me is this idea of how much ADHD is about struggling with those executive functions.
Okay.
Those like behind the scenes mental processes that most people take for granted.
Yeah.
It's not about, you know, a character flaw or a lack of effort.
Yeah.
It's a real neurological difference that creates a lot of challenges.
Yeah. I think it's important to remember that people with ADHD have so much to offer the world.
Oh, they do.
They're often so creative and insightful and passionate.
Absolutely.
It's about finding ways to support them so they can harness those strengths.
Yes, and providing them with the tools and understanding that they need to manage those challenges.
So well said. And that brings us to a really important question.
Okay.
How do we move beyond simply tolerating neurodiversity and actually embrace it as a source of strengthen innovation.
Because think about all of the contributions that people with ADHD could make if they were just given the right support and opportunities. The possibilities are really endless.
That's an inspiring thought. Okay, deep divers, we're going to take a quick pause to let all this information sink in.
Okay.
And when we come back,
yeah,
we'll explore some even deeper insights from our sources.
Okay.
And leave you with some final thoughts to ponder.
Great.
So stay tuned. Welcome back, deep divers.
Back for more.
I hope you all had a chance to kind of process all that information.
Yeah, there was a lot.
We covered a lot of ground.
Yeah.
You know, from those core symptoms of ADHD to actually talking about practical strategies.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the things that really stood out to me was just how much,
you
know, societal perceptions really impact how people with ADHD experience the world.
It's true. And it's heartbreaking to hear these stories of people who have been labeled as lazy or unmotivated or just difficult because of their ADHD. And, you know, these misconceptions, they can lead to feelings of shame and isolation and even self-doubt. And it can make it so much harder for people to reach out for help.
Right, because it's like you're being judged for something that you can't control.
Exactly.
And our sources even talk about how people with ADHD often have all these incredible qualities.
Yes.
Like creativity and out-of-the-box thinking.
Totally.
And this amazing ability to hyper-focus on things that they're passionate about.
It's so true. And it's interesting because, you know, these traits that are often perceived as weaknesses in a traditional work or school environment can actually be superpowers in the right context.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine all the innovation and problem solving and artistic expression that could come from embracing those differences.
Yeah. I'm picturing a world where, you know, neurodiversity is valued and not just tolerated.
Yes, where people feel empowered to be themselves.
Yes.
And those unique perspectives are seen as assets, not liabilities.
I love that.
I think it's something we can all strive for.
Yeah.
You know, it starts with really challenging those ingrained biases and assumptions that we all have.
Right.
So like the next time you see someone struggling with time management or organization, instead of assuming that they're lazy, maybe just ask yourself what might be going on beneath the surface or what kind of support might this person need?
It's about shifting from judgment to curiosity.
Absolutely.
And from criticism to compassion.
And I think recognizing that we all have strengths and challenges.
Yeah.
And that diversity in all forms makes us stronger.
So true. Okay, so embracing neurodiversity doesn't mean ignoring the challenges.
Right. It's about finding that balance.
Uh-huh.
You know, supporting people in managing their symptoms.
Right.
But also celebrating their strengths and their contributions.
So it's not about fixing people. It's about creating a world where everybody can thrive.
Yes.
No matter how their brain is wired.
Exactly.
That's a beautiful thought.
It is. And I want to leave our listeners with this final thought. What role can you play in creating a more inclusive and supportive world for people with ADHD?
I love that.
It could start with educating yourself, having open conversations, or just being more mindful of the language that you use.
Yeah, even small actions can make a difference.
Absolutely.
So deep divers, this is just the beginning of the exploration.
Yes.
We've included links to some fantastic resources in the show notes.
Yes, definitely check those out.
So be sure to check those out. If you want to learn more about all this and how you can support neurodiversity.
Yes.
And if you have any personal experiences or insights.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear from you. You can connect with us on social media or shoot us an email.
We're all learning and growing together.
Yes.
And, you know, the more we share our stories and our perspectives, the more understanding and compassionate we can become as a society.
So until next time, keep those brains curious, those hearts open, and remember, different is not deficient.
It's what makes us human.
It's what makes us human.
And it makes the world a much more interesting place.
See you next time on The Deep Dive.